on tonight to the pursuit of holiness. And our theme verse is Hebrews 12, 14, follow peace with all men, but without which no man, peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. And again, when we say holiness, we're not talking about sinless perfection. We're talking about Christ-likeness and being separated, sanctified unto the Master's use. Tonight we're going to talk about holiness in body. This is session 8. There's 12 sessions. And again, I'm not sure where we're going to go with our next study when we get done with Deuteronomy, because I've got a couple of things in mind, but I'd like to be done with this before we get to them. So I'm not sure. I'm kind of up in the air. Hopefully when I'm away this week to spend some time in prayer and talking with the Lord and doing some reading, I'll get that settled in my mind. A memory verse in 1 Corinthians 9:27. We looked at this verse last week, but I encourage you to memorize. You say, well, I don't know where to start with memory verse. I'm giving you a handful of them every Sunday night. If you know the Romans Road I gave to the teenagers, there's some memory verses right there to start. Everybody ought to have those verses memorized. But 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Those are key words, under my body and into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I skipped over the warning at the top, but let me read that because this is important. If you get offended, and I wish that we could be beyond getting offended, and we use that word offended wrongly many times, but to be offended means to be grieved, not just to be grieved, but to be grieved to the point of quitting. Oh, I quit. This is not done. I'm done with this. And that's what it means to be offended. This lesson will be difficult for you if you get offended. I guarantee you, everyone, if you want to get offended, you can be offended at everything that's said tonight. All right? Just remember Psalm 119 and verse number 185 or 165. That's a good verse to memorize. Great peace of they which what? Love thy law, and only the preacher will offend them. Right? Only certain passages of Scripture will offend them. Well, if you get offended, don't read the book of James. You get offended at everything there. But the subject of this lesson fits in the category of ignored or respectable sins. I put a footnote here. When I was first introduced, and of course these come from, I recognize Jerry Bridges. I don't agree with everything that he teaches, but I love this book and love these teachings that he has. And reminded me of the old days, this trip that I'm taking. I was planning on connecting with someone, but something came up that he can't meet with me that helped me tremendously. And all these principles he taught me as a new believer, and I've tried to build on them for the past 45 years or so in walking with the Lord. But I was first introduced to Jerry Bridges by reading a book called Respectable Sins. A lot of things came back to me because there's a lot of sins that we say, well, they're not so bad. Everybody's doing it. It's acceptable in our day. But if you read any history, you find out it was not acceptable. Some of them not that long ago. In fact, I was just reading another book by, I just came across another book by Jerry Bridges this week and read it during our revival meeting. It's called Who Am I? There's a quote that I had to write down. It was so good. And I love this. He said, your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. Isn't that good? Your worst days are never, you talk about falling and getting back up. Your worst days are never beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days. When we do the best, well, when everything's falling in place, when we talk with God and we have a great relationship with God, in our best days, you are never too good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. When we think we got it all together, that's sometimes when we need God's grace the most. And the subject of this lesson fits in the categories. I'll just go on here. There's an ever-increasing number of these sins in modern Christianity. I'm amazed at some of the things that are acceptable today that not too long ago were every Christian you met would say, well, that would be wrong for a Christian to do. But now there's a lot of things that are acceptable. But one of the things that all my Christian life has kind of been acceptable, and it's always kind of bothered me a little bit, and try to do something about that in my own personal life, despite what others would do, especially in the Western world, that greatly hinder our walk with God, but are easily excused in our minds because of the day we live in. True holiness includes control over our physical bodies and appetites. Is it time to pray and go home now? We're done now? Uh-oh. This is a major part of understanding that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And we are to glorify God in them. For example, and we could go on and list a lot of things, gluttony and laziness were regarded by earlier Christians as sin. Today they're just, yeah, it's okay. We'll sleep till 1 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, and we'll overindulge. And today we may look on these as weaknesses of the will, but certainly not as sin. In fact, we even joke about our overeating and our indulgences instead of crying out to God in confession and repentance. You know, there's a couple of things that I get stirred about personally. Because I love the outdoors, and most people in our world today not only don't know anything about the outdoors, they really don't care about anything outdoors. A couple of things that get me kind of stirred is when folks don't care about taking care of our environment. Now, I get labeled as an environmental wacko, but God gave the first commandment to replenish the earth. You study that out, he's talking about caring for the earth. Now, we don't worship the earth, but we ought to take care of the earth. We have a recycle bin in here. Nobody knows that. I think my wife and I are the only ones that use it. We just throw everything in the trash. Oh, we don't care. All those tree huggers. And this is God's planet that he put us on and made man to be partaker or the caretakers of this earth. There's something that I'm going to devote an entire message to that I won't get into tonight. And the other thing that stirs me is Christians that don't take care of their body. Now, the really disturbing thing is we destroy everything in our culture, in our world around us, and then complain when we can't get food out of the ground anymore. And we destroy our body and then beg out to God, God, would you heal me? And I've abused my body for 30, 40 years, and now we get in trouble and say, God, would you heal me? Maybe if you would have taken care of yourself, you wouldn't have had that problem. These are things that are important to God. Our body is the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. He lives in our body. You read what God had to say about the temple in the Old Testament and compare that to what God... We had to take care of this body of ours. Not that we worship it. They didn't worship the temple, but it was a place where they met with God. And we must remember that physical appearance is not always an indicator of spiritual failure. For example, a person may look thin and fit, but just... And be just as guilty of abusing their body as one who is overweight. And we picture this as somebody that's overweight and obese or whatever. They may have some physical problems that we don't understand that may be a result of themselves or maybe result in some people that you say, well, you're so thin, you don't understand that. You don't understand. I've struggled with this. The first 30 years of my life, I didn't have a problem because I was working construction all the time, climbing up and doing things and constantly on the move and involved in athletics when I was a young person. I wanted to get bigger, so I'd eat everything I could find, except during wrestling practice, I'd just stop eating altogether during wrestling season. But when I got to a certain age and got a job where I wasn't on my feet all day and climbing ladders all day, all of a sudden I started growing this way, and I didn't want to be growing that way. So it's been a struggle since I was age 30. That was 36 years ago. It is a struggle for everyone, but just appearance is not a good indicator of that, is what I'm saying. And I'll say that there are times in my past, and sometimes I indulge in the flesh more than I should. I struggle with it just like everybody else. Don't think I'm getting down on somebody because of whatever. But our physical bodies and natural appetites were created by God and are not sinful in themselves. Nevertheless, if left uncontrolled, we will find our bodies becoming instruments of unrighteousness rather than instruments of, what's the word that goes in there in Romans 6:13? Instruments of what? Are you looking ahead? Are you following along? Instead of instruments of righteousness unto God. Are they detracting from the gospel? Are they turning people away from the gospel? My attitude toward this flesh of mine, my care for this flesh that God says is a temple of God. Let me give you a challenge. How many of you would, I don't think it's a problem with anybody in here necessarily, How many of you agree that smoking is a poor testimony? Smoking cigarettes. If I walked in here with a big old cigar, never smoked one of those. I did smoke some other things before, but nothing illegal, just things in the wild. I thought, I don't know why I did that, just because I thought it would be cool. But it was stupid, but anyways, you would agree that that would be wrong? Can you find a verse in the Bible that says it's wrong? Not a specific verse. The verses that we use for that particular sin, we would call it a sin, wouldn't we? Would you agree that's a sin? The verse that we use for that would be the same verse that we would use for taking care of this body of ours. This body is important if we want to serve God. If we're going to have a right relationship with God, we need to take care of this body. I'll just leave that there and move on. God makes it quite clear in 1 Corinthians 9:27. I skipped something here. Let me go back. If we do not call it what it is and guard against it, we can see how often we eat and drink just to. And this is a lot of this. I could write so much. There's so much more we could go over. And I tried to cover everything I could in a little bit of time. But we can see how often we eat and drink just to gratify physical desires. We eat just because we want to eat. Or we lie in bed in the morning simply because we don't feel like getting up. Isn't it amazing how much of our Christian life is governed by our feelings? I just don't feel like doing that today. And when we should, how often do we give into immoral looks and thoughts simply to satisfy the sin-tainted sex drive within us? God makes it quite clear in 1 Corinthians 9:27 that we are to keep under our bodies, our memory verse there, and bring it into, what's the word?
Subjection.
Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, another verse that we ought to have memorized, ought to meditate on. That's a great verse to meditate on. Commanded us that we are to, what, our bodies, a living sacrifice. Present our bodies, a living sacrifice. It's not what I want. It's not what I desire. If we live by that way, we would live a pretty wicked life. But we think it's okay to live that way in certain areas, but not in other areas. One of the reasons, and of course, fasting is an important part of biblical prayer and holiness. And the main thing about fasting is it teaches us to discipline our natural desires when we learn to fast. There's a number of reasons of fasting, and I think that's the one that I think is the biggest. God emphasizes fasting all throughout the Scripture, not just in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. And we as Christians say, when ye pray, when ye fast. And I'll say this, that fasting is not a weight loss program. If you're fasting to lose weight, it ain't going to work. But fasting ought to be something that we learn discipline, to discipline the desires of our flesh and the things that we think we need. But that is something that, and fasting is not necessarily just food, but that's primarily how we think about it. Now let's go to the next page. Over 200 years ago, Susanna Wesley, you might know that name, wrote, "Whatever increases the strength and authority of your body over your mind, that thing is sin to you." Wow. So you think about that. Well, I did this because I just felt like it. I just didn't feel like reading my Bible today. I just didn't feel like praying today. I just didn't feel like telling somebody about Jesus today. I'm having a rough time. And we go by our feelings more than we want to admit, don't we? The person who overindulges his body at this point will find it more in the area of, and I'm just kind of focusing on our appetite for food, and this applies to many things, but the person who indulges his body at this point will find it more and more difficult to mortify other sinful desires of the body. As we become soft and lazy in our bodies, we tend to be soft and lazy spiritually and morally in every area of our life. We tend to do not what we should do, but we want to do. You know, I learned a long time ago, a Sunday school teacher I had when I was in Bible college, would say this quite often. We do what we want to do. Well, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to tell people about Jesus. We do what we want to do. If there's something we want to do, I guarantee you we'll find a spot in our schedule to do it. If there's something we want to do for God, we'll do what we want to do. And if our wants are controlled by God, that'll be different. We follow the cravings of our sinful nature. The trouble is, I'll remind you that I'm just summarizing what this author said, okay? So if you get mad at somebody, get mad at him, not at me. But I do agree with him 100%. And the trouble is we seldom feel like doing what we should do. I don't know about you, but to be quite honest with you, half the time on Sunday morning, I don't feel like going to church. You say, well, you're the preacher. Hey, you know what? It was easier to come to church when I'm sitting out there than it is when I'm up here. I guarantee you that. I don't feel like doing a lot of things that I do. I'm glad that I was raised by parents that taught us, and again, it all comes back to the desires of our physical appetite. I'm glad I was brought up by parents that if there's food on your plate, you eat it. Doesn't matter what it is. Pam was asking the other day, what's a food that traumatizes you, I think it was. Liver still traumatizes me. I asked my wife, I don't care what you cook, don't ever cook liver. She has cooked liver, but not when I was home. I had to eat it when I was a kid. It was all I could do to hold it down. And I'm glad I was raised by parents. And most people, whatever you want to do, honey. You don't want that? That's okay. I'm glad it wasn't that way in my life. That's helped me tremendously. We tend to do what we want to do instead of what we need to do. This is ingrained in our culture today in modern philosophy. I don't know many people that practice with their children what my parents. I had some old-fashioned parents that grew up in the Depression and all that, but this is ingrained in our culture today in the modern philosophy of education. That's maybe the most obvious place. They entertain young people and sneak in a lesson when they're not looking. That's how education works today. It didn't used to be that way when I was a kid. I wish it was. It would have been a lot more fun in school. And that's not to say that learning cannot be a pleasurable experience. But if we're not careful in our spiritual training, we'll raise a generation, or I should say we have raised a couple of generations now, of entertainment seekers rather than truth seekers. I want to know God. I don't want to be entertained. And that doesn't fly in most so-called Christians. I love this quote from A.W. Tozer. If you're not familiar with him, I encourage you to look him up and become familiar with him. I think one of my favorite quotes from him, and as a doctor, not exactly where I'd fit in some things, but I love what he said. After a study of today's church, my conclusion is that the church is politely bored with God. God, that's great, but, you know, I'd rather be out playing games. I've had a lot of folks show up for a playing meeting, but very few people show up for a prayer meeting. And that's just the world that we live in. James put it very, very bluntly. And by the way, we know we shouldn't be that way, but we are that way, aren't we? Right? James put it very blunt. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. It's sin to not do what I should do. And I say often, and God, I remind myself of this week, God, every day, God, help me to do. I'm going to do the things that I should do, not what I want to do. And I know I should do. And if we could, and if we're honest, if we could look around and be honest with ourselves, we'd say, if we did half of what we know we should do, I guarantee our walk with God would be a lot different. I don't know, maybe there are some folks that do everything that God tells them to do. I fall, and I need to just get up and keep going. Well, I'm going to encourage you to do this, to make a plan. We don't have a list of questions. I do have something I'm going to give you, and I'd like to spend a little bit of time, if we have time, when we get to the end of it here. Make a plan. If we are going to pursue holiness, we must make our flesh subject to our soul. Our flesh doesn't call the shots. Our soul does. What's our soul? Brother Van Gelderen talked about this. And I'm not sure if I come exactly, and by the way, I'm not going to discredit anything he said. Don't take this as a discredit, but I've never really looked at it. Kind of opened my eyes, and I'm going to study this out, but he talked about the soul and spirit and things, but in my mind, as I've always understood it, my soul is everything I am. Inside, my thoughts, my emotions, my will, my desires, my heart. The Bible refers to a number of things. My spirit was born not dead, but separated from God. My soul, after I am saved, ought to be subject to the Spirit of God. What I think, and that's going to be the future lesson, but my flesh ought to be subject to my soul. My flesh doesn't do what it wants to do. It does what my soul tells it to do. What my heart, what God, and God ought to tell my heart what to do and how to conduct myself. And I'm glad that that was drilled into me as a new Christian. Like I said, I wanted to visit with the man that taught me that early in my Christian life. And I'm glad that I came to that understanding early in my life and still trying to develop that principle in my life. And haven't got there yet, and I won't get there till I get to heaven, but I'm still working on it. And if we're going to pursue holiness, we must make our flesh subject to our soul rather than allowing our flesh to dictate and control our soul. Well, I just don't feel like praying today, so I'm not going to. I don't feel like getting up and talking to Jesus. I don't feel like reading the Bible today, so I'm just not going to. Romans 13:14 commands us to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the word that goes in there? Does anybody know? Anybody look it up? Make no what? Provision for the flesh. Don't let your flesh tell you how to conduct yourself. And we say, this is hard. This is not something that we're talking about pursuing the holiness, pursuing God. This is not an easy thing to do. And don't ever think that we've achieved it in our life. We must determine not to let ourselves get into positions of compromise. Proverbs 20, now these are three different things, and then I'm going to make it all, give you some assignment for next week. We must determine not to let ourselves get into a position of compromise. In Proverbs 27:12, a what man? Prudent man foreseeth the evil. A wise man, a discerning man, foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Yesterday was the 7th. I was looking at Proverbs 7, the simple man. And I thought, wow, I'm going to preach that sometime. And you've probably heard messages on that. The simple doesn't even know what's going on. But the prudent man knows what's ahead. And he's careful about where he goes and what he does. And careful that he understands the workings of his flesh, the desires of his flesh, and he's out to make sure that that flesh doesn't overtake his soul. In other words, know our sinful desires and not allow them to rise up against us. John Owens, you may or may not be familiar with him. He lived in the 17th century, in the 1600s. He was a Puritan writer. And he said this, if you read his writings, I tell you what, you'll be convicted by anything you read by him. He said, to labor to be acquainted with the ways, the wiles, and the methods, advantages, and occasions of success of sin is the beginning of this warfare. Talking about doing spiritual warfare. We need to understand the workings of our flesh and know how to avoid allowing that flesh taking control of our soul and our spirit. A wise word of warning for the recovering alcoholic was once given. I've heard this from a couple of places, and I like it, just a simple warning. If you live above a bar, you're recovering alcoholic, sooner or later you're going to stop and get a drink. You got to walk by that bar every day you get up, every day you go out, you're going to stop and get a drink. And you need to beware of that temptation. The devil will use that to destroy you if you put yourself in the place where he can raise up that temptation. And I give you this, allow God to transform our minds or reset our way of thinking. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, living holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable serve, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. For example, there's a day that eating, and I thought this is an interesting thing. If you study this in history, it wasn't that long ago that eating was seen as a necessity for survival. Today, eating is seen primarily in our culture as entertainment. You go on a date, what do? You go out to eat. It wasn't that long ago that that was unheard of. Eating is something you do to survive, not entertainment. And you can check our culture out and what has changed in our culture. And that is a major turning point right there. We eat for entertainment. We eat because we're, and sometimes, sometimes we need some comfort food, don't we? We want to eat this just because I want to just fill my gut up with something. That's not a healthy attitude. But I would like it. And by the way, we need to let God transform the way we think of a lot of things. I picture it this way, and I guess this is, to me, and these are things that I think to help myself out. And I'm just sharing with you because God used this in my life. If you are driving somewhere you need some gasoline in your car, right? The tank's getting empty and you need to fill her up. And you fill it all the way up, and then the next day you've had to take another trip, and well, it's still full, but you think, you know, yesterday I had to get a whole bunch of gas, so today I'm going to get a whole bunch of gas. Where are you going to put it? Fill the back seat up, I guess. And then the next day, well, it's just routine now. Every day I've got to eat three meals or fill three tanks of gas up. But where am I going to put it? Well, let's fill the front seat up with it now. You see the problem there? Are you with me here? Have I lost everybody? Are you still okay? And that's just something that I remind myself, you know, I really don't need that. But I sure would like it. and you see how that works. Now, I'm going to encourage you to do this. Here's a take-home assignment. I just gave you one thing, but I want to put you to thought in this. I'll just mention a couple of things that I have learned. I'm big in this and taking care of this body. I have been since shortly after I got saved and realized that, you know, I shouldn't abuse this body like I once did. I ought to take care of this body because I only get one body, like one preacher said, and I ought to take care of it. Write out your plan. If you don't have a plan, nothing's going to change. Just like memorizing and meditating scripture. If you don't come up with a plan, it ain't going to happen. And write out a plan that you personally will bring under your body and bring it under subjection. I'm not sure if I worded that right. I'm not sure if I can see it. Maybe I should put my reading glasses on. Write out how you will personally bring your body into subjection of the Holy Spirit. And let me just give you this. Back when I was first saved, I was told you need to read your Bible in the morning and pray in the morning. I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning and read my Bible and pray, and the first thing I catch myself doing is, oh, time to go to work now. I tried, God. We'll try it again tomorrow. And I just discovered this. You know what? If you get up and do some exercises, get the blood flowing, and then read and pray your Bible, pray and read your Bible, whatever. All of a sudden, wow, this works. This helps. If you get up early, that means you got to get up a little bit earlier. Once you get in it, and it's a good way to start your day. But if you discipline your body, it's amazing how much everything else fits in place. I'm going to say that I know that you may say, well, you know, Rex Sr. used to call me the skinny preacher all the time. They, you don't know that I'm 10 pounds overweight, what I should be. And I kind of stretch that. Okay, now I'll give this, but whatever. I'm going to keep my weight intent because, a number of reasons and family history. There's some things that I do, physical things, because I have hypertension. or high blood pressure. I wasn't sure what hypertension was. I thought it meant you moved a lot, but when the doctor first told me, I had, no, I'm a pretty calm person, but no, there's high blood pressure, and it kind of runs in the family, and so that's something that, and somebody said, well, it runs in the ministry too. So my wife always says, you either have high blood pressure or you cause high blood pressure, so you can decide which one you are. But anyways, so there's some exercises, some things that I do to help that. I was put on some medication. I weaned myself off most of it just by doing some exercise. I've got arthritis problems. I got to stay home. I can't do that because I got that old arthritis. He's related to me too, but I've just learned some exercises to do to make sure that this body keeps going. And not because I want to live to be 100 years old, not because I worship this body, because I want to serve God. I want to keep going for Jesus. There was a time years ago that I thought, I'm going to have to get out of the ministry here pretty quick because this old body can't take it anymore. The everyday sicknesses, I've learned some things that I can avoid most of those things. And my wife always reminds me that's just because people pray for us, not necessarily because I think the exercise and the diet and things take care of a lot of that too. I had this thing called plantar fasciitis. I don't know if you know that. I couldn't walk for a while. In fact, for a while I was thinking, man, I need to sit down to preach and sit in a wheelchair and things. But I've learned just some simple exercise. I do them every morning, and it's never a problem anymore. I have this thing called vertigo that kind of, woohoo, I'm kind of loopy already, but that makes it worse. But just I've found, and of course, everybody on the internet has a miracle cure, and I tried a bunch of them and finally found one simple little exercise. I got about a 15-minute routine that takes care of all these things in the morning. And found out a simple little way to get, and it works for me. It might not, that exact same thing might not work for other people that experience it. And these old tired bones. I don't know about you, but the older you get, the more tired you get. Someone will say, well, when you get old, you're going to have to slow down some. I ain't ever going to get old. Somebody, I was telling the teens today that asked them about going on a bike hike. And so can we take a motorcycle? I think Garrison asked that. Can we bring a motorcycle? And I said, you know, some of my siblings say, well, you ought to get an e-bike. They're a lot easier. I said, I ain't old enough to get one of them yet. But I'm about 95. I might think about an e-bike. But and I need that exercise. And just to walk around town, I'm amazed at some folks that just get in their car to drive two blocks. But that's... And then this thing called cancer that I'm still up in the air about that, but still working on that. And all these things, what I'm saying is this is the body that God's given to me. And I want to use it the best I can for Him. I want to walk with Him and be a blessing to others. But so many preachers, so many Christians I know, and I've noticed this all my Christian life, are limited in their ministry and their usefulness for God because of the physical problems that we have because of the neglect of their body. And I'm not in perfect health, but I just say, God, I want to keep going as long as I can for You. And I believe that that's an important thing. Now, I just ask you and encourage you, well, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I just use this to close. And we've all got things. We've all got excuses that we could use. I just say that somebody was, I don't know if you remember back when I busted up my arm, there was a fellow that we were visiting that said that he was on permanent disability and he's living off the government the rest of his life. And he was younger than me. And I thought, well, that's, what'd you do? He said, I crushed my arm. And he got out his x-rays and showed it to me. I still got my x-rays if you ever want to see. It's kind of creepy. Kind of cool looking, actually. He said that because of this, I can't move my arm, can't do all these things that I used to do. I can't work anymore. The government's got to feed me and fold me and take care of me, give me a place to live the rest of my life. I said, you know what? I put my x-rays next to yours. I can't tell the difference. And the doctor kind of laughed at me because he said that after the third surgery, I said, Doc, and...
Well, it made a good excuse that I don't have to play the violin anymore. That was hard, so got out of that. But I said, you know, Doc, I want to go bow hunting. Dale thought that was kind of funny. The preacher that goes bow hunting. I said, am I going to be able to do that? And he said, I don't know. You're going to have to really work hard. And I was so proud. The next season, I got to go bow hunting. He said, it'll probably take you a couple of years. Oh, no, we're going to do better than that. And I'm going to make sure I can do everything. Still can't straighten it all the way, but I can get by with everything. And a lot of it was just the extra work, the extra effort, the extra discipline. And I'm not a model Christian. I'm not a great Christian. I'm just saying that we need to learn to take care of this old body that God's given to us. And we all struggle with things. And we can either use them for an excuse, or we can say, I'm going to get stronger and better for this and move on for this. And our memory verse for this week, I've got to find it. I've got to get back to the page. I turned my pages here and I didn't mean to. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, let's read it together and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Can you memorize that verse? How many have that verse memorized already? Let's see if you can memorize it for next week, all right? I hope I didn't offend you too bad. I don't know about you, but I offend myself when I talk about that, you lazy slug. That's what I tell myself. Get up and do something! Just keep moving on for Jesus. And don't ever stop and keep moving forward and trusting God. And I've learned this, and just like everything and walking in God's grace and His holiness, you need to take the first step and God will go beyond what you can do. But if we're not taking the first step, we can't expect God to do what He wants to do in our lives. If we're not memorizing and meditating in Scripture, we can't expect God to use us the way He wants to. If we're not taking care of this body, we can't expect God to keep us healthy. Every time we need something, we just pop another pill and say another prayer and hope God will heal us. And I've learned this in my Christian life. I've applied it in many other areas. I've been saying this all along. If we do our part, God will do His part. If we don't do our part, we can't expect God to do His part. When it comes to walking in holiness, not for salvation, but for walking in holiness and walking in righteousness. I'm going to ask you to sing.